From APM in New York, I'm Ben Johnson, and this is Marketplace Tech. BlackBerry reports earnings today. The story of the Canadian smartphone and secure messaging software firm has been mixed in recent years, thanks in part to a lot of competition in the hardware and software business. Roger Cheng is executive editor for CNET News.
If iPhone is the Coke of phones, BlackBerry would be the RC Cola of phones. It's, you know, something we all enjoyed back in the past, but I don't think anyone drinks it anymore.
So what to watch out for? Chang says BlackBerry's Priv phone, for one. The company is experimenting with a new device that runs Google's Android operating system, but also BlackBerry's success in a transition away from devices.
Phone business, while it still makes most of their money, is not really where they're headed towards. Under their CEO, John Chen, they've really kind of shifted towards focusing on business software and services.
We'll see how BlackBerry's earnings impact its stock today. BlackBerry trades on the NASDAQ, by the way. And yesterday, we were at the tech-oriented exchange, where a lot of employees were busy typing away. We were at the NASDAQ to talk to Lou Modano, Chief Information Security Officer and Senior VP for NASDAQ. His organization has been thinking a lot about online security in recent years. I asked Lou what he thought businesses can and should be doing to protect against attacks.
It's important that the management team understands what's important to them and their organization. Mm-hmm. So they know what they have to protect.
Right.
They should also use a third party to test vulnerabilities into that organization. So there's a terminology known as red teaming. So red teaming is something that we do to look for gaps in our processes, look gaps in our infrastructure. They'll come in unnoticed, and then you will get a report back telling you, I was able to accomplish this, this, and this, compromise this machine, compromise this set of credentials, et cetera.
The good guys in sneakers.
Pretty close to that, yeah. Yep.
You have personal experience with these challenges. I'm talking about this thing that happened in 2010 where you discovered malware in the system.
Yes. So that incident occurred in 2010, as you stated. It was in a very small part of our environment. And since then, I would say that that incident served as a wake-up call. So when I look at the maturity level of what the information security team consists of today versus then, it's dramatically different.
Can you talk about one particular kind of threat that you see that may be a bigger deal in the coming years?
Ransomware activity has certainly spiked. It goes down to basics. When I look at how people are being exploited, it's because of poor password hygiene. Our employees understand not to click when they get that email that tells them to unsubscribe, as an example.
How do you guys deal with it here? I mean, are you like literally just not letting links appear in emails in certain departments?
Exactly.
Or what are you doing?
So the threats that we're aware of, we have the signatures and the equipment that we have that protects us, strips all that out before it reaches an employee. The other more important aspect, again, goes back to education. So we try to fool our employees. And when they're fooled, we go back to them and we give them training on how they were fooled. And
you're pranking them?
We're pranking them. That's a good way to put it. These are important things, because what you don't want to have happen is someone who's running your operations shouldn't be victim of a fish, because they could give up their credentials.
Lou Modano is Chief Information Security Officer and Senior VP for NASDAQ. Lou, thank you very much for talking with me.
Great, Ben. Thank you.
NASDAQ has a new report out today made with the help of the online security firm Tanium and Goldsmiths, University of London. They surveyed a bunch of C-level executives at companies on their feelings about online security at their companies. The findings? Well, turns out a lot of executives are worried about online security and a growing world of hacking threats. They also don't really know where to start or how to deal with this growing world. We've posted a link to the comprehensive report at facebook.com/marketplacetech. Time for a tally. My Silicon Tally guest this week is Ars Technica business editor Sarus Faravar. Sarus, are you ready to play the game where we try to stump each other with numbers from the week's tech news? Let's do it. I'm always terrible at this game, but let's do it.
All right, $30 billion.
Let's see. Your latest startup just got acquired for that much?
Oh, man, if only. This is the amount of money that could come in as a result of the Federal Communications Commission's spectrum auction, which started this week. You know, this is one of those things that's super, super nerdy, but it's actually kind of important, right?
Right. So that means our phones and data and stuff like that's gonna get faster and cheaper, hopefully, right?
Oh, we can hope, my friend. We can hope. All right. What do you got for me?
All right. How about 74 pages?
Is the legal document filed by the federal government saying, we don't need Apple's help anyway?
You're not far off. It is a legal document. It is actually the length of the court opinion by an appellate court in Maryland that just came out on Wednesday saying the Baltimore police could not use their Stingray to track a suspected shooter without a warrant. Basically, the way it works is it spoofs cell phone towers. So it tricks your phone into thinking that it's talking to a regular cell phone tower. And in so doing, it gives up its location.
Yet another example where questions about policy around technology are really being settled in the courts, I guess. All right, I got something for you. 16,000 combinations.
Is this the amount of combinations that exist on a four-digit passcode?
Whoa, sir, you know your numbers well. This is how many music combinations you can make with this new interactive music video that accompanies the late Jeff Buckley's cover of Bob Dylan's song, Just Like a Woman. What would your interactive Cyrus Farivar music video include in it?
Well, I hope it would be a lot more interesting than where I'm recording this interview right now, which is from inside my closet.
Well, maybe people could like pick out the outfit from the closet to put on you in the music video. That could be a thing.
There you go.
Cyrus Farivar, senior business editor at Ars Technica. Cyrus, thanks a lot, man.
My pleasure, Ben. Cheers.
More from us as always at marketplacetech.org. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.